I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. We worked our way partially through this chapter last week. What we ended on is verses 11 through 15, where Solomon had a short look upward beyond things under the sun. But he starts looking back at everything back under the sun again as we pick it up in verse 16. He had brought God into the picture of his thinking. And without the Lord in your life, I can really say meaningless, meaningless, meaningless is life. With the Lord in your life, the Lord gives us purpose. He gives us a destiny. He gives us hope. In a sin-cursed world, in a fallen world where people are corrupted in their thinking, corrupted in their ways, corrupted in their minds and in their lives, and that corruption often affects children of God too, Christ gives us hope. What Solomon sees, he sees the corruption and injustice. And he starts coming across almost cynical. He acknowledges that there is a time to judge the wicked. But as you look through history, if you go up to Solomon's time and you look back at that point when he was writing, there really has been very little progress as far as justice. If you look at our day and time and look all the way back to where Solomon, when he wrote, you know what? There's still been very little progress with justice. Solomon says in verse 16, "And moreover I saw under the sun the place of judgment." Now, where would the place of judgment take place? That would be a courtroom, naturally. That wickedness was there, right in the courtroom. And the place of righteousness, that iniquity, was there. I remember the last time I was called on jury duty. They asked me this question. Would I take the word of an officer or the judge over the word of an everyday person walking the street? I said, yeah, it has a little bit more weight to it. I said, I take that judge that's sitting on the bench. He's pledged an oath to uphold the laws of the court, and I would take his word a little bit more weighty than a person just off the street. The defense attorney who was questioning me, they were weeding out certain people. I got weeded out real quick. Which I'm thankful for, not been called on again. But you know what? There's a lot of people that are not just. There are a lot of judges that are not just judges too. I don't say that I'm going to take the judge's word if he's wrong, but I say that a judge should have more weight in what he says because of the position that he's in, and there ought to be respect for people in positions. What Solomon sees that he cannot find justice and righteousness, and what he's finding is that which is the opposite. And because of that, he thinks justice is meaningless. He says in verse 17, "I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." He acknowledges there's a time for judgment and justice to be served. But the problem is, he sees in the courtroom there's sin and there's wickedness. I remember another time I was on jury duty. There was the defense attorney defending his client. And we caught him. The jury actually caught the guy in a lie. And he kind of chuckled and laughed it off. But you know what? I didn't find that too funny. If you're lying to get somebody off of an offense, you ought to be put on trial too. It's really sad that we find injustice even in our court systems today. In verses 18 through 22, and this is a short passage of Scripture we're looking at tonight, what we see, and we'll read through it, we see death is for us also because we have a part in sin and the injustice in the world. Notice what the Word of God says. I said in mine heart, concerning the estates of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalls the sons of men befalls beasts. Even one thing befalls them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knows the spirit of man that goes upward, and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? I want us to notice in just those first couple of verses that God is just and God loves justice. God is holy. God is righteous. And all you have to do, you can look through many passages of Scripture how God is just. He's by no means going to clear the guilty. And it talks about how He loves justice and how when someone is served injustice, God is angry. You can look at Exodus chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. You can look at Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19. You can look at Deuteronomy once again in chapter 27 and verse 19. God loves justice, and God has not changed since Solomon has recorded this. Now, as Solomon is seeking the purpose in life, he is looking at all aspects of life under the sun, and he's asking a question what a lot of people have asked me in their life. He is asking, very simply, what's my purpose in life? Now, have you ever asked that question? You ever thought, what's God's purpose for my life? What is my purpose in being here? Some people will say it's to make the world a better place. And that's a noble thing. Some people seek doing that in different ways. In what way can we make our world a better place? Some people seek it through politics. Now, I will say, as a preclude to what I'm about to say, Christians are needed in every walk of life that's legitimate. We need godly people in every aspect of life because we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And salt needs to be scattered throughout. No matter what occupation you're in, God's placed you there that you might be salt and light. There needs to be Christians in politics. But we've got to be careful with that. Back in the 80s, some of y'all might remember. Some of y'all cannot remember because you weren't alive during that time. But you remember, those of you who are old enough, a man by the name of Dr. Jerry Falwell. Dr. Jerry Falwell, Liberty University, and he pastored the church there. He basically, what he did, he merged politics and Christianity. And what he called that, if you remember, he called it the moral majority. By merging politics and Christianity, some people come to the conclusion we can make our world a better place by making our government Christian. Let me tell you something, deliverance and salvation will never come through the government. Don't put your hope in the government. Don't think the government's going to save you. If anything else, some things that have been exposed recently, you better worry about your government. Salvation does not come by Christianizing the government. Let me give you an example. We like to see conservatives in control. We like to see people with conservative values in leadership positions. But let me ask you, how much change do you see when conservatives get in leadership positions? Look over the years. How much has really changed when conservatives are in control? You know what? Very little changes. Our government, if you notice how there is the House and the Senate, the House controls the purse strings. Just, I think it was Friday, the House passed a bill that we can spend $1.2 trillion. Now, you know where they get that money from? It's your pocketbook and my pocketbook. It comes through taxes. The stack of that $1.2 trillion bill they want to spend of papers was about that high. They gave it to them early in the morning, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, to read to vote on the next day. Now, I don't know how many of y'all are speed readers, but you can't do that much in that short of time. You know some of the junk that's in that? They call it pork. And let me tell you, this pork ain't worth eating. I don't want to get political, but this is where the text is, and I've just got to use some everyday examples. There is $400,000 that has been allocated to an organization to equip transgenderism in elementary schools without parental consent. $400,000 is in this stack of bills that nobody read. There is $850,000 that is given to start gay senior homes. This is your money and my money being put to use. You know what? If I didn't tell you this, most of us would not even know it. I want you to see how our government is. $500,000 is being given to DEI for a zoo. They belong in a zoo. They need to build a zoo around themselves, it seems like. One thing I know for certain, in looking at politics over my adult life, times are much darker under Democrats. But they don't get a lot better under Republicans. The Democrats are trying to legalize voters from other countries that are not citizens. Now, who in the right mind would have somebody come from another country to elect the leader for this country? I'll tell you who, Democrats. You see the twisted thinking. This is stuff I'm not making up. It's stuff I found from headlines. Due to the immigration pouring in, that is just an open border, this will possibly sway the Electoral College by the population in certain areas. There is no doubt in my mind, and you can see it if you look honestly, the Democrat Party is more blatant anti-Christian. They promote pro-abortion. And since the abortion has been sent back to the states, there has been more abortions performed than before. You see how little changes, even when the conservatives are in control. It is the Democrat Party, and I would say even some of the Republican Party, that push and promote the LGBTQ community, the transgender agenda. What I'm saying, what is our purpose in life? We want to make the world a better place. Let me tell you, if you think going into politics is going to do it, you're going to make up very little sway in politics and other people's lives. I'm not saying we don't need Christians in those areas. We do. We need strong Christians with backbones that won't bow to the almighty dollar. That's hard to find. You wave $1 million under a politician, they'll go wherever you're going. Some people like to think that they can improve the world. They can make this world a better place through social justices, through social reforms. And there are certain things which has positive effects which they need to be brought to attention. And something that's been brought to attention a lot recently is the issue of abortion. But I want you to notice, as we are looking for a presidential election coming toward the end of this year, notice how many Republicans are speaking out against abortion. Few and far between. I'm telling you what, if they started showing the procedures of an abortion and how that baby is fighting for its life in its mother's womb as the limbs are being sucked off that little child, and they say it's too graphic. Yes, it's too graphic, and that's why you need to show it. And you don't need to back down from it. And yet the Democrats are making that a part of their platform of promoting women's rights. Let me tell you something, Republicans, if they had backbone, they would make it part of their agenda and show the travesty that's being done to life that is being given by God and how they are murdering children. Something that's going on in our day and time, and is probably exceeding a lot more in volume than what has been in the past, but is being more exposed, is sex trafficking and child trafficking. And you know what? A lot of high people in high places, I probably got that right, high people in high places, politicians are involved in that. And it's, though it's being exposed to some degree, it's being hushed in a large degree. This is what's going on in our nation. How much money has been sent to Haiti? I didn't look it up, but I'm sure it's up in the billions with all the earthquakes and problems that they've had. And you know what? Most of it's gone into the politicians' pockets down there. There was the Red Cross that was going to build, transform communities. They built 4 houses. Where did the money go? You see what Solomon is saying? He sees corruption right in the courtroom, right where justice should be highlighted. And we're seeing the same today. Things have not changed. You see, there's nothing new under the sun. One can become very cynical by looking at things like this. We see very little or no justice at all in our systems. Solomon sees the innocent being found guilty. He's seeing the guilty being released. He's seeing injustice going on. Is that not what we're seeing in our society? People calling good evil and evil good. You lock people up in certain cities and they're back out on the street before the officer can get out of the courtroom back on the street. What Solomon is saying a few thousand years ago is still the same practice that's going on in our day and time. Notice what it says just a few pages over in Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, look down at verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. In other words, judges are getting paid off to justify the wicked and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. You can look at our judicial system and we see major, major problems. You can look at the Supreme Court justices, how some of them have had their lives threatened. And yet the branch to protect them has not been there. You see, the corruption, what we see in Solomon's time, is true in our day and time. If you haven't been keeping up with how the immigration is going, they're starting to promote squatters' rights. I read a story just this past week of a lady who was killed going to clean up her apartment so she could rent it out. It was her mother's apartment. She was going to go clean it so she could rent it out. Two squatters were there. They killed her. They stole her car, beat her up, put her in the duffel bag, and drove off, wrecked the car. Let me tell you, that's happening in our country. And we see major problems going on. We can become very cynical, like Solomon was. We, as image bearers of God, we bear the image of God. We cry out for justice. We desire to see justice carried out. I've read someone mention this past week. If you're 25 years old or younger, you really have no concept of what happened at 9-1-1. Think about that. That's how much time has passed. And there's a generation coming up that has no memory of that. If there is no final judgment, use your imagination with me. If there is no final judgment that is coming, the perpetrators who killed all those people, about 3,000 people, plowing into the Twin Towers, plowing into the Pentagon and different places, those perpetrators, if there is no judgment to come, they are no worse off than those they killed. Think about that. In Nigeria, there are Christians that are being put to death by Muslims. If there is no final judgment, you know what? Those doing the killing are no worse off than those they're killing. We cry out, just like the souls that are under that altar, "How long, O Lord? How long?" Many of you that are older will remember the pastor down in Memphis named R.G. Lee. R.G. Lee preached that famous sermon, Payday Someday. That Payday Someday is actually a sermon taken from 1 Kings. And it's when old Ahab wanted a vineyard. And when he spotted this vineyard, he said, "I got to have it." Jezebel said, "I'll get it for you." Jezebel had a couple sons of Belial, worthless fellows, to testify against Naboth. And Naboth, who owned the vineyard, was stoned to death. Jezebel comes in rejoicing, telling Ahab, "You can take your vineyard now." The problem with that is that God saw it, and God required justice. It did not happen that day, but payday was coming someday. Listen to what the Word of God says out of the context of that Scripture. In 1 Kings 21, down in verse 19, God is speaking. And it says, "And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Have you killed and also taken possession? And you shall speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your blood, even yours." Now this was Elijah confronting Ahab. Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O mine enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you. I will take away your posterity. I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith you have provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dies of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dies in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. God says there's a payday, and payday's coming. Now, it did not happen right then. You go to the end of the book of 1 Kings, and what happens? Ahab is killed. There's a enemy that draws the bow and he slings an arrow in the air. Wasn't naming it anybody, but God directed that arrow and hit old Ahab. His blood drained down into his chariot. And boy, they hightailed it back to the capital. And when they get there, the dogs start licking old Ahab's blood out of the chariot. It was a bit later for Jezebel. Payday's coming, but it ain't got Jezebel. Some people may have been wondering. Boy, that Jezebel gets by with everything. But if you notice in 2 Kings chapter 9 and down in verse 30, in 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 30, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head. In other words, she made her hair all tied up and pretty and looked out a window. And as Jehu entered into at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who's on my side? Who? There looked out to him two or three eunuchs. He said to them, he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. And some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. Boy, he's feasting. And said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. In other words, the dogs had ate her up. But her skull, her mind was so sick and perverted. Her hands and her feet, with the ways of her actions, were so corrupt even the dogs didn't want anything to do with it. They went to bury her, they found no more of her. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is Jezebel. In other words, Jezebel is not. What God says, God will do on God's timetable. Judgment is coming, but you know what? It comes when people least expect it. God is a just God who loves righteousness. And when righteousness is undermined, let me tell you, payday's coming someday. Might not be today, might not be next year, but it is coming. Listen to what the Word of God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul is writing, he says, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith, in all your persecutions and all your tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, In other words, payday is coming someday. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. In other words, payday's coming. And it might not come today or tomorrow, next year, but it is coming. You can rest assured God said it. And God always delivers on His promises. Payday's coming. But you know what? When you think about it, we always want justice for the other person. We don't really want justice for us. We want mercy for us. We're always looking at the other person wanting justice. But the Word of God has told us we have all sinned. That gives us the big problem. There's none of us without sin. The wages of sin is, as Solomon said, death. Notice what he says in verse 19. For that which befalls the Son of Man befalls beast, even one thing befalls them. As one dieth, so dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is emptiness. In other words, think back to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve submitted to the beast and the beast's advice. The beast of the field was that snake. And you know what? Adam and Eve became like the beast. As the serpent died, even so death passed among all men too. Death is the great equalizer, whether it's animal or human being. It is God who gives us the breath of life. He gives the breath of life even to all creation as far as animals. And He gives us the breath of life. When He takes that breath of life away, there is then death. Solomon is saying, we don't know beyond that in verse 21. Who knows the spirit of man that goes upward and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. I want you to notice how he ends here. He is drawn back to death. How death is passed among all men and all animals and all creatures. But he comes to verse 22. And though he has been somewhat cynical because of all the evil that he sees, even in places where righteousness should reign, he basically says, carpe diem, seize the day. Seize life as long as God gives you life. Life is short. Enjoy life. Rejoice in your works, for that is your portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? You know what? Life has no purpose without Jesus Christ. You can live for the pleasures of life, but let me tell you, pleasures soon pass away. There are people who I've seen firsthand live for the pleasure of the next fix of a drug. Next thing I know, they're gone because the drug has taken their life. Oh, but it was a fun time. Oh, but it's not too fun now when you pass from this life. You see the purposelessness of life without Jesus Christ. He gives us hope. Though justice in Solomon's day and time might not have been served, listen carefully. Have you ever been done wrong? Has someone hurt you and done you wrong? Here's what the Word of God says. Payday's coming someday. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. judgment is coming someday. I pray you have professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you know Him. And you know what? When you know Him, you have purpose in living. And you've got all the more reason to carpe diem, seize the day, and enjoy the life that God has given. Oh, that we might, no matter what may come our way. We're living in troublesome times. I've heard many people say, you might not have heard this, but I've heard many people say, in our day and time before the election, something's going to happen. And it's a good possibility something's going to happen. There's much evilness in our world. But whatever may come our way, we have Christ. All I have is Christ. What more do you need is Christ. He is all you need. Through the thick and the thin, He's always there. Do you know Him? We're going to stand and give a hymn of invitation. Pray you respond as God so leads you. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, how relevant it is as Solomon is writing around 800 B.C., many, many, many years ago, removed. And yet the complaints he had of seeing what was going on under the sun is some of the things we still see going on under the sun today. Lord, we pray that You would reign, even on earth as You do in heaven. We pray that You provide for the needs of Your people. We pray that we would look to Your hand, not only as our provision, as far as sustenance, but provision in health, provision in strength, provision in salvation. Help us to ever, ever be looking to You. And may we ever give You the praise. For Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing More Love to Thee, O Christ.